This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. Their commitment to education goes far beyond the classroom. Lakeland.edu. Your hosts for the show, Dan Plucker, and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, on the Big Show Radio Network.
Just a couple minutes left here in this Packers-Lions game, and it's looking like the first win of the season for your Green Bay Packers. They're up 35-17 with 3 minutes remaining in this game. It is Dan Plucker, the guy, big voice guy, just said, hanging out with you. Alongside with me is Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back, talking about this win. It looks like the Packers are going to be pulling away with this one, winning their first game of the season, hopefully looking like they may be back on track here. This wasn't a close game. It wasn't anything that a lot of Packer fans should necessarily be concerned about. It was a win, Gary Ellerson. It was a good win against a team that they should beat.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Little touch and go, right? In the beginning, 7-7, 14-14, 17-14, I believe, at one point by the Detroit Lions. I think this team still can be how it was last year. And then let me explain to you how it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the offense. The offense has got to score points and get up on teams, and then its defense will play much better. I think that's the way it's going to have to go. There's still some issues. There's still some concern within, you know, our defense as the run game is concerned. I think we got to get better at stopping the run. It felt like in the first quarter, second quarter there, that whatever Jared Goff wanted, he could get. And once again, Kevin King gets beat deep. Now, albeit it was a broken play, but still, you know, got behind him. Now, I will say this. For some strange reason, at 12-6-5 Lombardi, I don't know if you noticed this, Pluck, but we couldn't tweet out. I mean, you just couldn't tweet anything out. So you saw a lot of guys trying to tweet, and I think they were trying to rectify the problem and get that all situated so guys can get some socials out. So it was tough getting stuff out of there and to try to keep track of what's going on and looking at the game. I will say this. At 14, I believe at, was it 17-14, a little concern, but you saw the offense moving the football, and that I think at the end of the day, they scored enough points to put a lot of pressure on Jared Goff, and then you get turnovers. You get an interception by Devontae Campbell.
Exactly. And let's just call it what it is. Last week was an absolute stinker against the Saints. It was abominable. It was awful. It was something that every single Packers fan wants to be completely erased from their minds because it was not an enjoyable game. The Saints dominated every single aspect of that game. The Packers' first touchdown was today. The Packers' first turnover was today. The Packers' first sack was today. All of their firsts came in week two. And if this performance comes in week one, if they have this kind of game in week one, I think there's a completely different trajectory about this team because we saw notable improvement from the Green Bay Packers today. It's true. You saw a defense that was swarming to the football a little bit more, a pass rush that was getting to the quarterback more in the second half comparatively to the first. Because like you were saying, Gary, that first half was very reminiscent of what happened in the first game defensively. It was no pressure on the quarterback, Kevin King right. blowing coverage. It was mm-hmm. the Lions running the ball down the Packers' throats throughout the whole first half, and they went into the locker room with a lead at halftime because of it. But that second half was completely different in my eyes. It truly was. They got the turnovers. They were getting pressure on Jared Goff. The coverage was looking better. Eric Stokes had a couple breakups in that second half as well, and the team altogether just looked better. They looked like they had more energy. They looked like they were playing with a lot more effort than they did in week one.
Well, right. It's going to be about the offense. Can they score points? And they're going to have to score points in order to help the defense out. I think that at the end of the day, but that's what this team was last year. This team was really about the offense scoring points, and then this defense can be what it is, and that is that they can get after the quarterback when they're put in situations to rush the pass. I think if they got to go toe-to-toe with the team and the team can run the football on them, I think the Packers are going to be in trouble. But they can score points and get up. That plays right into this defense hands.
Absolutely. You can call us at 855-830-8648 to join the show here. Myself, Dan Plucker, and Gary Ellerson hanging out with you here on the Green and Gold postgame show presented by Lakeland University. And it's the first win of the season, guys. I know everybody's going to be wanting to talk about this game because it was an important game. I mean, we were talking before this game about this potentially being a must win for the Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions right. in week two. And just think about how different this game would have been if it was close, if the Lions would have wound up winning. It would have been them down 0-2 and losing a game at home to the Detroit Lions, as it looks like Devondre Campbell just picks off his second ball of the game. Oh, that was the first. Okay, Sam's back replaying highlights. Exactly. My apologies.
I hate when that happens.
I'm sitting here watching and thinking it was live.
I would say this, Pluck, there was a lot of nervousness in around Lambeau Field today.
Absolutely.
It was very uneasy. And then when you saw Kevin King get beat right away, very uneasy in the crowd. 7-7 uneasy. 17-4. I mean, the crowd was on pins and knees. And I think a lot of people, maybe we rest some things that they can put to bed here, and that would be whether Aaron Rodgers motivated to play. I think we can forget about that now.
Yeah.
Now, I was never in that camp, but I don't think that it should be an issue.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's kind of what was being transcribed into this season and into the struggles, because it was on the top of everybody's minds all offseason long was, what is going on with Aaron Rodgers? How is it going to impact this locker room? How are they going to respond as a team now that we know that he is back in Green Bay with this team? And we saw it today. We saw that they can be exactly what they were last year, especially on the offensive end, if and now that Aaron Rodgers is back with this team this year.
Right, I would agree.
And
totally, I think that's where we're at.
Absolutely. Aaron Jones, we haven't even mentioned him yet, and he probably had the biggest game of the day for the Packers just in total. 4 touchdowns, over 100 yards on the day receiving, and rushing as well combined. And he was just a monster. And that is something that was very different from that week one matchup. Aaron Jones had more touches, the same amount of touches, on the first drive of the game for the Packers today than he had all of last week, Gary. All of last week. In the first drive today, he had as many touches as he had all of last week. And it showed how important he is to this offense today.
Well, they didn't try to run the football last week at all. I mean, they just, you know, they just got stuck, and they were trying to get back, and they threw the ball a lot. So they took Aaron Jones out of it. And I think what you saw today is that they stuck with the game plan. Even when they got behind, they stuck with it. There were some plays in there that I mentioned I thought that we could have had back. But I think for the most part, they stuck to their game plan. And I think once they do that and they get used to that, they'll score a lot of points.
Yeah, and this team is capable of scoring a lot of points, as they showed today. And it's just looking like the hope is being restored. And it feels like the hope is being restored in so many Packers fans' eyes. Don't you think so, Gary? I mean, there were so many question marks heading into this game, and people were panicking about what this team was and who they were going to be and if they could ever get back to where they were. And I know it's a win against the Lions, and the Lions are expected to be just an awful football team this year, and likely they probably will be, but they took care of business today. They did exactly what they were supposed to do.
No, they did, and that's what it's all about. Now, albeit you didn't get to that until the second half, right? I mean, the halftime scores, it's a game.
Right.
I mean, it's a game at halftime. So, the Lions are right there. I mean, you felt like, though, if the Lions wouldn't make stupid mistakes, that they could have a chance to stay in the game and a possibility to win it. But the Packers come out in second half. Basically, they put their foot on the throat and stepped on them. And I think that's what you saw coming out in the second half with the first drive that they got. They just went right down the field. Now, Aaron Rodgers looks pretty good. I mean, I don't know how many yards he threw for, but he looked pretty good here in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. He looked like vintage Aaron Rodgers. 22 of 27 in the game, 255 yards and 4 touchdowns. He was sacked 3 times, but compared to last week, where he was atrocious, like he just didn't have his head in the game, it felt like.
Well, he held on to the football in maybe in a couple of those sacks that he could have gotten rid of.
You're right, and I think it was maybe focusing on one or two guys and not reading the plays correctly, but that happens for every quarterback, even Hall of Fame quarterbacks in certain situations. And he relied on Devontae heavily once again today. 8 receptions, 121 yards for Devontae in the game as well. As the Packers, this one is about to head final. Jordan Love will take probably the last kneel of the game here, and the Packers will win 35-17 for a huge win. This is a huge win, and it's the Lions. I get it. People are going to hang their heads on that they took care of business against the Lions, and it's Detroit, and they're a weak team, but it's important. They're in the win column for the first time, and with this win, they are tied for first in the NFC North at 1-1 with the Chicago Bears. If they would have lost, they would have been looking up to both the Bears and the Lions. So let's enjoy this. Let's be happy that they got the first win of the season. And let's evaluate this game more at 855-830-8648. It is Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson hanging out with you. And the guy who dialed that number is Ty in Philly. He joins us here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show presented by Lakeland University. Ty, how are you today?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Ty? What are your thoughts on the win, man?
Okay, man, look, I got 3 points. You do what you're supposed to do. You protect home field. You beat a lesser opponent, a team that you got more talent than. So, you know, we'll take that. I'm always looking at the defense. I like what they did with the corners, but I don't think that they can fall in love with Jair playing inside. That's going to be probably shortchanging his talent. But I like what 21 did tonight. Finally, a first-round pick. Paying some dividends off early in the season for us. I like what they did with that. I'm totally exhausted of Kevin King, but, you know, whatever you got to do for him to do something, I guess. But and like my man Gary Ellerson been saying for years, man, you know, 17 and 33 is special, man. Anytime you get those to the ball, man, you're going to make some haywire. You know, in a game like this, when you see those two playmakers make plays, man, it's just it's like you think, man, with Jordan Love sitting on the bench for about 40 games now, man, if they have a second wideout, because I don't think another wideout had any catches in the first half, and Cobb caught a couple, but if they have a talent like Justin Jefferson, and I don't want to make the conversation about that, but you got a quarterback sitting in the bench on the bench for 40 games, man, and your wideouts is not showing up. This is the second week in a row. But if you have a talent like Justin Jefferson, it just make you go back and think, man.
Don't we have a Justin Jefferson?
Devontae Adams?
Yeah.
He's better than Justin Jefferson. I'm talking as your number two wideout.
You're saying Thielen and Justin Jefferson, right? That's what you
right. Those, right. When you got 10 when you got 10 sitting on that bench for 40 games, Gary, and you just see tonight, you look at the numbers. When y'all get a chance, look at the numbers and see what 13 and 83 did. You only can help but to speculate. Like, if we had that talent, man, because we're wasting players almost, you could say. Like, they're not contributing. You know, Justin Jefferson, man, a couple of picks away.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to ask you this, Ty. Yeah. So the reason why we didn't win the NFC Championship game the first year against the San Francisco 49ers because we didn't have enough weapons. The reason why we didn't win it the second time against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is because we didn't have enough offensive weapons. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. That's a good point. That's a good point that you're making. All right, so you say this. You let me answer that. So
okay, I'm
that
man.
Old, MVS had over 100 yards in the game against Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game. We still lost, Gary.
Yep.
We still lost.
Yep.
We still lost.
Yep.
So, you know, if you stick Justin Jefferson in that game with Devontae Adams, with 85 and with 33, I doubt that Tampa Bay can stop this offense. And like I said, you still got number one sitting on the bench
but
for
see,
40 games.
But here's what you're trying to do, and a lot of people are trying to do. You're trying to build a perfect team. And Minnesota also had chances to get players to make their team better, and that they didn't. So you're cherry-picking other players from other teams to make this team better. I just don't look at it that way. I mean, I don't think
you
can.
You
can, but I don't look at it that way. The Minnesota Vikings, they have flaws in other areas. That's why they can't get as far as they need to be. I mean, like, maybe now see, and then here's where we go. Maybe we take Aaron Rodgers off the Green Bay Packers and put him on the Vikings. That's a Super Bowl team, right? Right?
That answers your question.
Right?
That,
a Super Bowl team, right?
That proves it, Gary.
Right. No, here's what it proved. It proved is that they had opportunities to draft an Aaron Rodgers-type quarterback, and they never could.
That's fair. I just say when you look at
a lot of people look at it that way, Ty. I mean, I get you. A lot of people look at it that way. I mean, they do. I mean, a lot of people saying like, if we had Justin Jefferson, we'd be this. If we had this guy, we'd be this. I mean, to me, I think the comparison would be more like if you looked at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To me, what would we be?
Definitely. What? Ty, thanks for the call. We got to hit a break here. But, no, great conversation, Gary. And it brings up a good point and something that I think a lot of Packer fans over-evaluate and kind of look into with these drafts is they expect them to pick the best player at every single pick that they have. It's just not the way that it works.
That's not how it works.
Retrospectively, yes, of course. Oh, this guy was available. It would be perfect if they would have drafted him here instead of this player, X player there. Like, I get it, but that's not the way that it works. Mm-mm. When you're actually sitting there evaluating this talent at the draft, you can't say, in 5 years from now, that guy's going to be the best player from this round of the draft. That's not the way that it works. If it was, every team would pick exactly in correct order the best players that are going to be in the NFL in 5 years from now. That's not the way that it works in the NFL or in any other league, and I feel like it's over-evaluated by Packer fans more than anybody else. But we do have to hit a quick break here. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. It is Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson breaking down the Packers' week two win, their first win of the season over the Detroit Lions, 35-17. Here on the Green and Gold Post Game Show. The Packers get the first win of the season, a young season, week two win over the Detroit Lions, 35-17. And it's Gary Ellerson and Dan Plucker here breaking it down with you. The first win of the year. We're all happy about it. It happened. It finally happened. People were afraid of this game and very afraid heading into halftime, but the Packers straighten things out, figure things out, and they get it done in the second half and really pull away from the Lions in this one. 21 unanswered points in the second half and just a dominating performance in the second half for your Green Bay Packers. It is the Green Gold Post Game Show presented by Lakeland University here on the Big Show Radio Network. And let's go back out to those phones at 855-830-8648 to join us. And go to Frank in the airport. Frank, you are now on the Big Show Radio Network. What's going on, Frank? What you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. We had a nice flight back from the East Coast where people are clapping, applauding. We're all watching the games on the nice, generous Southwest Wi-Fi signal. So we got to see everything. It was pretty nice to get the W up in the air. And, yeah, I mean, like I said, I wasn't panicking and freaking out on the offense week one. I was more like you guys, Gary, you know, it'll come around. It's week one and laid back. But listen, the defense for me, first half, it was like they're letting teams put drives together and just get down on them. They don't get off the field on third down. And I don't know if, you know, they got a scheme to learn and come around and it's different play calling and whatnot. But down the road here, you know, the first quarter of the season, what do you think it takes to get this defensive – game like dialed in where we know assignments, you know, they did that rub route and he broke open early. He lost coverage. I don't know if they were supposed to pass him off. He didn't stick with him. Just plays like that. You could see some, you know, they got some stuff to work on. And I've always been the most concerned on Joe Barry, you know, is this guy the answer to Mike Penn? We're switching out coordinators. with the same chess pieces here. You know, is this really an upgrade? Is he making it over that much? What did you guys think defensively?
Well, you know, and thanks for your phone call. I appreciate it. Hope everybody else continues to call in tonight, Frank. Good question. The defense still looks the same. The touchdown pass that T.J. Hockenson caught, and that was a rub route. I don't know why you're guarding him with the linebacker. You almost got to guard him with a DB. Just won't be fast enough for that kid. So they got the matchups that they want. It still feels like, though, this defense is what it was last year. I think it's a bend but don't break. Offense get up. They'll play well because then you got to throw the football. And I think that's the strong point of this team is if this offense, the Packer offense, can score points, the best thing this defense is good at is rushing the passer. And they've got, although Kevin King, you saw Stokes today look pretty good. But you saw still Kevin King get beat deep. They went after Jair maybe a couple times to no avail. But I think the strong suit of this defense is if they can get off the quarterback. But this offense is going to have to move the ball. The offense is going to have to score. I still feel like, and I felt like this last year too, that any team can run the football on us. I just don't think we're a very physical team up front. I think that is always going to be a problem for us.
And it was messy in that first half. I mean, the Lions offensive line was having their way with the defense. And whether it was the pass rush just absolutely not getting home. I mean, I think it was on that touchdown throw to Hockenson where Goff had literally 10 seconds in the pocket to throw the football. Like, you can't have that happen in an NFL football game. Any quarterback, no matter what name is on the back of the jersey, can find an open receiver if he has that much time to throw the football. It was ridiculous at points, to be frank, how little of a pass rush the Packers had in this game. And then also on that end, the middle offensive line, Frank Ragnow and whichever guard was next to him, was just plowing over whoever was playing nose or defensive tackle not named Kenny Clark. Like, it was disgusting. It was every single play, Ragnow opening up a massive hole for Swift or Jamal Williams to be running through the Detroit Lions running backs. And they took advantage of that all first half long. And I think that is really what cost the Packers in that first half. And what made the second half so much better is that, like you were saying, Gary, the Packers took that lead. They took that big lead and almost took the running game out of it for the Lions. They could no longer run the ball because they needed to put the ball in the air to try to play catch up with this Packers team, which is about the last thing that any team wants to do.
Right. And I think that's where then the Packers gained the edge, right? They come out in the second half, they score right away. And now they're up. I believe they're up then at 24-17, I think it was. And I think that put a little bit more pressure on the Lions to try to throw the football a little bit more. So it took them out of their comfort zone. Like I say, we'll enjoy this, but you know what you're going to get from the 49ers. You just know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And just hopefully they're ready for it.
Yeah, and again, it feels like every single Packers game against the 49ers is in San Francisco, too. It feels like they can never bring them to Lambeau Field. And Aaron Rodgers and the Packers just have not been good in San Francisco. But we're continuing to break down this game here. The Packers beat the Lions 35-17, and the real turning point in this game to me, Gary, was the turnover on downs in the third quarter. That after that, it just seemed like the Packers took off and run from
right.
there.
Right, and that was a big play by Stokes over there, I think, on the sideline when they turned the ball over. I mean, when they got turnover on down. So that's a good feather in his cap, something to build on.
Mm-hmm. And right from that moment on, it just felt like the momentum had changed. The Packers made a stop on defense, and they were just going to turn and run away with the game. I tweeted out something to that aspect right when it happened. I was like, well, that feels like it's going to be it. And then the next few drives, the whole second half, it was downs, fumble, punt, interception, right. turnover on yeah. downs. And that's how yeah. your Green Bay Packers pulled away in the second half and won this thing. As the Detroit Lions lose 35-17, your Packers win their first game of the season. It is the Green and Gold Post Game Show. We got to hit another quick break here. Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back there. I am Dan Plucker, hosting for the first time on these airwaves. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Plucker. That's PLOCHER. You can also follow us at Big Show Network on Twitter. Facebook, Big Show Network as well. Sam Schmitz is on the other side of the glass today. You can call us at 855-830-8648 to join the conversation. Your Green Bay Packers win their first game of the season. I know it's against the Detroit Lions, and everybody's going to say it was just the Lions, but it's much more important than that. It is their first win of the season. They're on the board with the W, and we'll be right back here on the Green and Gold Post Game Show, powered by Lakeland University.
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. Their commitment to education goes far beyond the classroom. Lakeland.edu. Your hosts for the show, Dan Plucker, and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, on the Big Show Radio Network.
The Packers earn their first win of the season, 35-17. It is Dan Plucker alongside Gary Ellerson here, former Packer and Badger running back. You can hear Gary after every single game. I'll be after almost every home game of the season as your Packers earn their first win of the season, 1-0 with Dan Plucker in this chair hosting alongside Gary Ellerson, 0-1 when Sparky is hosting with Gary Ellerson. So you know I'm going to hang that over Sparky's head all day long tomorrow, all week long, and hopefully I can keep that streak up for Packer fans. Fans as they win today and win 35-17. And what a game it was for the whole offense. Aaron Rodgers, a great performance, 4 touchdowns, 200 plus yards, almost perfect in terms of his completion percentage. Davante Adams, 8 receptions, 121 yards. Aaron Jones, 4 total touchdowns, 3 receiving and 1 on the ground. And it just looked like vintage Packer football. 855-830-8648 to join the conversation here as the Packers improve immensely in week 2 compared to what we saw in week 1 against the New Orleans Saints. But it didn't start off that way, Gary.
No,
it started off with a little bit of a scare. The Lions moved right down the field on that first drive of the game, and it started kind of with a couple of pass plays from Jared Goff, who started the game red hot. He was like 8 for 8 to start off this game heading into the second quarter, and he was just picking apart this Packers defense like we saw last week. And former Wisconsin Badger Quintez Cephas, a couple of nice plays, including a touchdown to start off the game. Gary, give me your thoughts on Cephas, because it looks like he might be the number one there in Detroit.
Well, I think he can be. And, you know, listen, I thought he had first-round talent. You know, just unfortunate what happened to him at Wisconsin, and that's what bumped him down to the later rounds. But the guy is good. I mean, the guy's been one of the best receivers at Wisconsin in a long, long time, since maybe Chris Chambers and that group. He's got first-round ability. So I think he's going to be pretty good for them. Still young, didn't, you know, because he sat out that 1 year at Wisconsin and came back and played that, you know, and played his final year, but still he's growing. I think he's going to be a good football player in the NFL.
Yeah, luckily, though, we didn't hear much of his name after that first drive, and the Packers responded right away with an 11-play, 75-yard drive that finished off with an Aaron Rodgers touchdown, little pass, I believe it was, to who was it there? It was a little dump-off pass to Aaron Jones for a touchdown, which put the Packers on the board, tied the game at 7-7. The teams exchange punts, and the Lions get the ball again and drive right down the field for a second time. That first drive, for the Packers, Aaron Jones touched the ball 7 times, and that's right, as many touches as he had all last week against the Saints. So it was a huge turnaround in terms of his usage. The second drive where they punted, it was 3 straight passes, none of them directed to Aaron Jones. And so we saw this strange catalyst where immediately in this game, Gary, it felt like the Packers just need to get Aaron Jones to football and let him do his job and get his, because he was going to get his today.
Right. You saw that right away. I mean, 17 rushes for 67 yards that he had, 3.9 average. That's not the greatest. But still, if you look at how they got him involved, 6 catches for 48 yards. You know, three receiving touchdowns. And I think Robert Tonyan, I mean, the huge pass interference play that he got on him, but also caught 3 passes for 52 yards. But his average is 17.3. That's absolutely huge. And, you know, you did mention Adams, 8 catches for 121. But what about Randall Cobb there in the second half? Kind of got involved. Otto, 3 for 26, but still kind of got involved. My thing is, Amari Rodgers, I don't know if he will see the field at all other than special teams. Right now, they're loaded at receiver. They got their players at slot. He's going to have to try to fight to get some playing time.
Yeah, you're 100% right there, Gary. And the Lions, that next drive after that punt, they did take the ball down the field. 9 plays, 81 yards, moving it right down the field again. Jamal Williams getting a lot of touches that drive. And then it was that pass that we were talking about earlier, Gary, where Devondre Campbell gets beat by TJ Hockenson on what was a great throw from Jared Goff.
It really was. And it was kind of like a little rub route. But like I say, I don't know. When you're down in there like that, I don't know if you could put a linebacker on. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think you got to figure out how to guard him with a DB, or maybe they switch that off or something like that. He'll be the linebacker every single time. TJ Hockenson will in the NFL. You just got to guard him with a DB, and when you're in that situation,
it did look like a little bit though. Eric Stokes was supposed to help over the top, and he had his eyes in the backfield instead of on a receiver in that situation too. So I didn't hate the coverage in that situation, but either way, the Packers get right back on the field, respond themselves. As Aaron Jones gets another touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers on what was a 10-play, 58-yard drive. And the Packers are looking strong once again on offensively, but the questions still remain on defense in that first half as the Lions take it back down the field once again and kick a field goal, which would have been a miss had the Packers not iced Seibert, their kicker, who then hits it after on the second attempt and into the locker room, 17-14 Lions. And we're all kind of feeling a little queasy, aren't we, Gary?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course. Why are the Lions winning at halftime? Right? But I think you saw the Packers come out in second half and ride the ship. I mean, they scored 14 points there in the third quarter. The first drive was just absolutely incredible. And basically, to me, that's when you know that the Packers could just come out and put their foot on their throats and finish them off. And I think that's what you saw the Packers did. And then you saw the defense start stepping up and playing a little bit better and start getting some stops.
Yep, and it was a good thing that the Packers started off with the ball in the second half, too, because this defense was having its issues. They had allowed 7 passing touchdowns in the first 6 quarters of play. That's not exactly what you want from your defense when you're playing in the NFL, because if you can't stop anybody ever, you're not going to win a lot of football games. Defense wins championships, and right now that defense is still suspect, but in the second half, they were much better. And the second half, just altogether, the Packers were much better. It started off with Aaron Jones, a 10-yard run, and then they were feeding Aaron Jones. Then Rodgers found Devontae deep for a 50-yard pass that kind of it was on third down, too, and you kind of knew at that point that this offense was rolling again. I feel like it was the first dime this year from Aaron Rodgers, Gary, where you were just like, that's a throw, that's an Aaron Rodgers throw that a lot of other quarterbacks in this league can't make.
Yes, and then you knew he was on fire, and then you saw him get it to Devontae Adams a little bit. I mean, you saw him start working some other players in. I just think, you know, once he gets in a groove like that, he's hard to stop. I mean, this whole notion of him not having any desire, any fire, I think he dispelled those notions tonight.
Yeah, I would definitely agree about that. Then he found, a couple plays later, he did find Robert Tonyan for this touchdown.
3rd and 6, and the rain has started to fall. Rodgers zips one in there for Tonyan. Touchdown, Packers. A 22-yard strike. And for Green Bay, it's their first lead of the night.
It was their first lead of the night and their first lead of the entire season, Gary, coming in the second half of their second game of the year. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No. No, not at all. They did not. Listen, the touchdown he threw to Tonyan was absolutely incredible. I mean, he put that right on the money. It was just, I mean, that thing was a work of art. I mean, unbelievable.
It was in a place that it felt like only Robert Tonyan was going to catch that ball too, right up the seam with a guy right on his back. Just a beautiful throw from Aaron Rodgers to Robert Tonyan. And Tonyan having quite a game himself, 3 receptions, 58 yards, and a touchdown. So he proved his value after week 1, not a lot from Robert Tonyan. Week two, we saw Robert Tonyan again, the Robert Tonyan, Big Bob Tonyan, as some people like to call him. The Lions come back down the field and they get in a position where they're at a spot where they can kick a field goal maybe and make this a 20-21 game. Instead, they go for it on 4th-and-1 on the 25-yard line, and it was an incomplete pass instead of just running it up the gut like they'd been doing all game. It's felt really puzzling to me, Gary.
No, it really did. And I think a lot of things for me with the Packers that they did sometimes just didn't make any sense. But here's what you got. You got a mixture of Matt LaFleur offense and Mike McCarthy's offense ran by Aaron Rodgers. And sometimes the feel can be a little bit different. Like it can feel, because I think at one time, I believe the first half, they were driving the football and they were running the football. And they come back the next series and they throw 3 straight passes. Like that was mm-hmm. almost like stuff that McCarthy would do
right
in his plays when he was here. So, and I think it's a lot what Rodgers wants and what LaFleur wants. And I think sometimes you get that sort of uneasiness feel about it, and you don't know kind of what they're doing.
Well, and for this defense too, for this Packers defense, stepping up in that moment in a 4th-and-1 situation and getting a stop when you're struggling mightily on defense, which this Packers team was through the first 6 quarters of action, yep. To get a stop, it felt like from then on out, things started rolling a little bit more for this defense too. We saw a couple turnovers in this game, and we saw them really shut down everything that the Lions were doing from that point on. And it helped that the Packers offense kind of got things going and kept things going throughout the game, as well as Aaron Rodgers found Aaron Jones for Jones's 3rd touchdown of the game.
Rodgers with Jones floating out of the backfield and dancing in the end zone. Another Lambeau leap for you tonight.
It was 28-17 Packers. At that point, the Lions get the ball back, and Jared Goff, it's a little rainy out there. He fumbles the football.
Ball comes out, and the Packers have it. With 4 seconds left in the quarter, the rain is coming down, and Detroit just snapping the football for the 9th time of the quarter. And only now is Jared Goff picking himself up. Packers have the football.
9 snaps for the Lions at that point. That's an immense improvement from the Packers defense for what we saw, where the Saints were just controlling the game all game long in week 1, and the Lions for the most part doing the same this week. From then on out, it was all Packers from there. Another rushing touchdown from Aaron Jones. You saw an interception from Devondre Campbell late in this game, but that's where it all kind of ended, with that touchdown there from Aaron Jones, his 3rd of 4 in the game, as the Packers win this one 35-17. Huge improvement in the second half for your Green Bay Packers, and the first win of the season. There is now a notch in the win column for Green Bay, and I think a lot of people are feeling much more confident about this team moving forward, Gary.
Well, they are, and I think, well, maybe that should be the question that we ask. Are you confident in your team after the win today? I mean, maybe that should be, because I don't know if you are. I still think you still feel a little bit uneasy about the defense, and like whether if they play a really good team, can they stop anybody? Whether they can play, and I hate to do this. We know what we're going to get when they go play the 49ers. And if the 49ers can run the football, control the clock, keep Rodgers off the field, that's the recipe for the Packers to lose. The Lions just didn't have enough. I mean, you saw that. And I think, you know, I don't know if it cured all my ills tonight, but it did make me feel better that we're 1-1.
It's a lot better than 0-2, Gary.
Damn right.
It's a lot better than 0-2. 855-830-8648 to join us here on the Green and Gold Post Game Show. He is Gary Ellerson. I am Daniel Plucker here hanging out with you. We got to hit a quick break here. When we come back, Kyle in Waukesha, John on the east side, we'll get to you both. And you at 855-830-8648 as the Green Bay Packers win their 2nd game of the season and get a notch in the win column. 1-1 on the year are your Green Bay Packers.
Who scored first? Was it a big play? It's time for the Schulze Family Beef first score of the game. Schulze Family Beef, Treat your grill to quality Wisconsin pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Yeah, the first score of the game and of this season for the Packers in terms of touchdowns was Aaron Jones punching in a one-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers.
Second and goal from the four. Tap pass.
It is to Aaron Jones trying to turn the corner. He does. Touchdown, Packers.
It was the first of four on the day for Aaron Jones. He becomes the first Packers running or the first Packers player in 20 years to score four touchdowns in the game, and he's done it twice, and he's the only running back since 2010 to do it, and he's also done it twice. What Aaron Jones is to this team means a lot, and it showed today. He was a huge part of the offense today and really did a lot of good things for the team. It is Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson hanging out with you here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University. And right now, let's go out to the phones at 855-830-8648 and talk to Kyle in Waukesha. Kyle, you are now on the Big Show Radio Network and on the Green and Gold Postgame Show. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, I got a question for Pluck and then one for GE.
What's going on, Kyle?
Hey, Pluck, I just want to say you're doing a great job hosting the show, and then I want to know if you're if you think we made a mistake getting rid of Mike Pettine. And then for GE, I just want to know if you also maybe cheer for the Lions since you played for them as well. That's all. I'll listen. Thanks.
Kyle, appreciate the call and the kind words. Honestly, when it comes to Mike Pettine and Joe Barry, Gary, I don't see that big of a difference in terms of what they're doing schematically. And from what we've been told from the brass in Green Bay, Joe Barry was brought in to fix communication issues within the defense. Whether the players' communication on the field, and so far, it doesn't really look like he's done much in that regards, or at all. It looks like it might even be worse than it was under Mike Pettine. Because, I mean, how many times have we seen two guys in the secondary looking at each other like, that was supposed to be your guy, that was supposed to be your guy on plays? It happened in this game, the first touchdown of the game for the Detroit Lions. Yeah, and that's why that really surprised me. And I'm not sure 100% what went on in that situation, but it felt like this defense still has a lot to figure out. And with Joe Barry at the helm, and I was not a big proponent of the hire from day one. It confused me. I've seen Joe Barry in the past. He used to be the defensive coordinator of these Detroit Lions that they just beat, and he was also the defensive coordinator in Washington. And both of those years, those teams were really bad. He was the defensive coordinator of the Lions when they went 0-16. Now, he has more talent here in Green Bay than he ever did. Right. They had zero talent.
But here's the problem that you ran into with that, Pluck, and I do agree with you. I think they wanted Leonard from the Badgers.
Agreed.
And I think they put all the eggs in one basket, thought that he may be their guy, and then he ended up backing out on him. I think that's where they wanted to go. I think Joe Barry was a fallback. And, you know, and that should never happen. I think the Packers organization is a good enough organization where you need to know if a guy is going to come here or not. I mean, it's not like you're going to a team that's not contending to get into Super Bowls or, you know, those types of things. It's not an also-ran type organization. So whoever made the decision to fire Pettine, and I don't even know, because there was talk today up in the press box about how that all went down. Like, maybe Pettine didn't want to come back because he most certainly contract just ran out. Either they never renewed it or he didn't want to renew. No one knows. Because basically, it felt like what ended up happening is that they put Pettine out on Front Street for losing the NFC Championship game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe he thought it was just time to move on. I've been in this league long enough. I got enough money. I don't need this. So maybe that happened. And if it did, then the Packers should have made a better choice, or should have been wise enough to know that this organization is a great organization. Anybody would like to come here and coach. This is the guy we know. This is the guy we want. But it felt like the Packers got egg on their face after Leonard's decided he didn't want to come here, and then they go get Joe Barry, a guy that really doesn't have a winning track record at all.
Yeah, and it just seems so puzzling, Gary, because you'd think that they would want a guy that has had success, that has had a winning record, and a guy that's going to come in and kind of change things about this defense and make it a Super Bowl defense, because they have the talent on the defensive side of the ball, outside of linebacker and the interior defensive line behind Kenny Clark, to have difference makers that will win you a Super Bowl and all other aspects of their defense. And it just feels like the puzzle pieces just aren't coming together correctly, whether it was under Mike Pettine last year or this year, especially at the start of this year under Joe Barry.
No, you're right about that. And I think long-term, I think the Packers probably need to get better right up front on mm-hmm. their defensive line. And I don't know if that may not be an issue that they solved. Well, that I don't think that's an issue that they solved this year. They got to either draft better up front, or they got to go get some free agents in front. And that's another conversation for next year. You got what you have right now, and you got to go with it. The thing of it is how do you make it better? Well, the offense is going to make it better. The offense has got to be relied upon to score more points than the other team and put your defense in a good situation. And what I mean by that is this team is a pass-rushing defense, so if they can pin their ears back, get off the quarterback, I think this team plays a lot better.
Let's get to one more call here before the break. John on the east side, you're on the Green Gold postgame show. How's it going, John? The Packers, they get a win in the win column.
Oh, that's great. I tell you, you know, the Pack is back. Cheeseheads everywhere are celebrating. Great win for Green Bay. I tell you, it's good to see Rodgers smiling again and having fun out there and looking like his old self again. And I think this is exactly what we needed to get the team back on track. And this was a bounce-back game. I felt very confident they were going to turn it around against the Lions at Lambeau Field. What was good to see, obviously, Aaron Jones is looking like his Aaron Jones. He's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was great to re-sign him. And a player that I really have been impressed by is that Robert Tunyon, or Big Bob Tunyon. He's been fantastic. I tell you what, he trains. They call him Baby Kittle on the team because he trains with George Kittle on the offseason.
Right.
And I think he's like the best tight end this team has had since JerMichael Finley. And it's great to have him on this team. I think he's going to have a breakout year this year, continue what he did from last year. And Rodgers, that pass from Rodgers to Tunyon in the first, in that touchdown pass was great.
Yeah, but, it was awesome.
Yeah, it feels good to see the Packers back on track here. Overall, I mean, the defense, they got to work things out on defense. But, the key is, like you said, is they got to keep have the offense is what drives this team. And today was a good example of what they have to do.
John, thanks for the call. We really appreciate
thanks, John.
It. And he's right on the nose. Tunyon, I think, is a huge addition to this team. I really do. Because
when
we talk about the elite Packers offenses that we've seen over the last decade-plus years with Aaron Rodgers, I feel like every dominant one has had a tight end, like a premier tight end, whether mm-hmm. it was Tunyon or Jared Cook for the year that they had him, or going back to JerMichael Finley, that extra added weapon, you can tell the difference within this offense when he has that big body guy on the inside that he can target if he needs to, that isn't necessarily there on the outside. I feel like Rodgers has always had wide receiver talent, at least one guy that he can look to, but to have another tight end, especially in the red zone, is huge for him, Gary.
Well, it really is. And, we start talking about, that's what Ty was getting in at. But we have a good tight end. We have a good running back. Vikings have, okay tight end. It used to be pretty good. Dalvin Cook, maybe it's a toss-up between Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones. I'd rather have Aaron Jones. And so I think you start looking at weapons that these other teams have. I think we have just as many weapons as other teams around the league have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Aaron Jones right now, he's one of the top five running backs in the league today.
He has to be, especially after a performance like this. Like, he put up a historic day today. He really was the difference maker in this game, in my eyes, for how often and early he got into that end zone. We got to hit a quick break here. It is the Green and Gold postgame show. Gary Ellerson and Dan Plucker hanging out with you, talking to you about the first win of the Packers season, 1-1 now after they beat the Detroit Lions 35-17. Are the Packers back on track for a Super Bowl? That's what we'll be asking in the next hour of the show. More coming up next here on the Green and Gold postgame show, powered by Lakeland University.
The Green Bay game is over. Now it's time to talk about what happened in the game. What went right? What went wrong? Who's to blame? It's time for the Green and Gold postgame show, presented by Lakeland University. Their commitment to education goes far beyond the classroom. Lakeland.edu. Your hosts for the show, Dan Plucker, and former Packers running back Gary Ellerson on the Big Show Radio Network.
The Packers are in the win column and are tied at the top of the NFC North for the division lead. I know it's early. I know it's 1-1, but the Packers get an important win today, and they win against the Detroit Lions 35-17 in a game where the offense looked like it's back and the defense improved. They got a little bit better in the second half. They certainly have some work to do, and we're giving you the avenues to talk about this game at 855-830-8648. It's Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson hanging out on the Green Gold postgame show, powered by Lakeland University. And talking to you now about this game, because it's a win. Like I said, it's a win, and I know it's against the Lions, but is that enough? Are you confident enough that this team is back onto that Super Bowl track that so many people had those high expectations for? Did you see enough today where you're sitting in your house or in your car on your way home from Lambeau Field and you're saying, yeah, I'm good with this team. I'm confident this team can get back to where they've been before in the past and have almost been the last 2 years? Are you at that place? Are you in that mental spot where you feel confident in this team that they can get back there again? 855-830-8648 on the Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line. Let's go out to the phones. Jay is in North Carolina, and he is now on the Green Gold postgame show here in Wisconsin. Jay, what's going on, man? Big win today for Green Bay.
What up, y'all? Thank you for taking my call. Dan, sorry, condolences to the Lions. You know, but, hey,
it is what it is, man.
They are who they are. I feel bad watching Detroit because it's like penalties. You know, it's hard to watch, man. So,
they shoot themselves in the foot a lot.
Yeah, constantly. but I was telling Steve, though, man, the fact is we have a top 10 defense. I mean, if you look at the stats, you got Carolina, Buffalo, Denver, Philly, New England, Cincinnati, New Orleans, Chicago, the Jets, and us at 10. So if you look at any of those teams, I don't really see any NFC contenders up there. So, I mean, I think the defense is going to get better. I like what they did. They put 21 on the outside, King on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sullivan looks like he's kind of out of favor, and Chris Barnes, he kind of fell off. So maybe, I don't know. But I feel good. You know, it just matters when it comes out to the end of the year. You know, we'll beat Detroit. We'll win the division. We'll get a, you know, home playoff game. It just matters what we do in the playoffs. And it really counts. But I'm confident that we might catch some breaks.
So, Jay, are you just canceling the regular season? Are you saying we're good? We're going to be one of those top teams in the NFC no matter what?
Yeah. I mean, we'll win the division. You know, then we might play like Carolina or somebody in the playoffs, Arizona, you know, one of those teams like that. And, you know, just see what we do from there. But I feel good. I think we could beat any of those teams. It just matters what we do at the end of the year. So, yeah, I feel good.
Jay, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it, man. Good stuff. He's feeling good about your Green Bay Packers after that 35-17 win today over the Detroit Lions. But does it mean anything for you out there? Are you confident that this team is back on that Super Bowl track that they once were? Gary, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think that they're right back on track now, or do you think they still need to show things during this regular season? Because Jay is all like, I'm good. Let's get to the playoffs after a win against the Lions. Where are you at, Gary?
Well, it's too early to tell that yet. I mean, you guys, we go one way or another. We did last week or just before today, where, you know, we were not going to make the playoffs. And then today, are we back on track? I don't know. I mean, it's a different year. It's a different team, a different makeup, different stuff. You had a lot of stuff happen in the offseason. I still need to see more. I mean, now I had the dream. I had the premonition. I mean, I'm sticking by that. But outside of my dream and premonition, I still need to see more from this team. I mean, this team, to me, still has a lot of things that need to get better. I mean, defensive line up front needs to get better. We need to get back David Bakhtiari. I mean, I think this team can take off. Za'Darius Smith. So they have a lot yet to improve upon. And I still haven't seen the NFL. Now, so far, it looks like it's I will put my money on Tampa Bay. That's about it. All right? In the NFC, Tampa Bay coming out looking like Tampa Bay. I can put my stamp on that. The Packers, not so much just yet.
Yeah, and I think that's justifiable, Gary. That's kind of where I'm sitting here too with this Packers team, because I think there's just still too many question marks about this defense. Arguably, that's what kept them out of the Super Bowl last year. I guess you could say the offensive line without David Bakhtiari as well, which we're still going to not see him for at least another 4 weeks, maybe even longer with that torn ACL. But for the most part, it was this defense that kept them from the Super Bowl and from getting to their real potential. And right now, I don't know if the Packers defense has gotten better than it was last year. From what we've seen in the first 2 weeks, absolutely not. And there was improvement this week. We saw more rushing the passer in the second half. We saw the turnovers. We saw them make a couple of big stops. And if they can do those things in the moments that matter the most, because early in the game, this Packers offense is going to fight back. It's just what they do. They're going to earn their spot back into pretty much any single game that they're in, unless they just don't get a chance to have the football in their hands and they're not running Matt LaFleur's offense like it was last week. But if they are within, you know, a touchdown, 3 points at halftime, it feels like they can get back into any game. And that's exactly what we saw tonight. We saw this team, the offense kind of pick it up in the most important moments of the game and the defense respond to it. And that's what makes them such a great team. And their defensive schematics aren't perfect. This team is not perfect. They're not, I would say right now, they're a notch below, you know, Tampa Bay and maybe even the Rams and a couple of these other teams in the NFC, but they're in the conversation, and with Aaron Rodgers 12 at quarterback, I'm never discounting that man in my life, because I've tried to do it a couple of times and he's proved me wrong too many times at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm cautiously optimistic about this team. I think that the Packers truly do have potential, even with just this win today. They shake off the rust a little bit. They got better. They looked like a better team this week than they did last week. And that's enough for me. If they continue to build upon that's what is going to continue to breed success within this season. They have to keep building upon it, which means next week when they head out to San Francisco, they have to look good. They can't let Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball only 7 times in the game. This is a healthier team than what they saw last year when they were in San Francisco and won. They have all those dudes back that were out last year. I think at one point it was 22 guys on the IR last season for the 49ers. So it was a process for them last year. They didn't have any of their big names, and all of those names are back plus some. So that 49ers team is one of the most dangerous teams in the NFC again this year, and they're 2-0 heading into this game against the Packers, Gary.
Right, and you know, defensively, they're going to play good defense.
Right.
So that's going to be a thing. And right, so and you know, when you see their offense, you know you're going to get a big dose of the run game. And they're not the team that they were 2 years ago. I mean, they're a little bit different, but they still want to run the football. They're still going to rely on their defense to get sacks and to shut you down. It's going to be a very physical game.
Yeah, and we'll be breaking down that game and recapping this game even more tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show.
No doubt about it.
Heard on these same airwaves across the great, beautiful state of Wisconsin. We got to hit a quick break here, but when we come back, we'll continue. We'll get to Mike on the south side and get to more of your calls at 855-830-8648. Are you confident the Packers are back on track after their win against the Lions in week 2? Can they get to the Super Bowl again? That's all coming up next here on the Green and Gold Post Game Show, driven by Lakeland University.
The Green Bay game is over. What was the scoring drive of the game? It's time for the Drive of the Game, brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Rodgers with Jones floating out of the backfield and dancing in the end zone. Another Lambeau leap for you tonight.
That capped off the drive of the game, the ABC video drive of the game for your Green Bay Packers. That little dump-off pass to Aaron Jones that went 11 yards into the end zone as the Packers took the lead 28-17 after the Lions turned it over on downs. And really, that was the point that they kind of turned this game on its head and pulled away. Because that touchdown made an 11-point lead, and then they scored again, making it 35-17, which was the final up at Lambeau Field today as your Green Bay Packers defeated the Detroit Lions 35-17. We'll hear from Aaron Jones. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. But first, we're going to hear from you at 855-830-8648 as Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson hang out with you after the Packers' first win of the season. Go out to Mike on the south side. Mike, you are now on the Green and Gold postgame show. How's it going today, Mike?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Gary, how are the dogs? I hope they're well.
Yeah, dogs are doing pretty good, buddy.
I can hardly hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear him, Pluck?
I can hear you just fine, Gary.
I take nothing from this game. I have absolutely nothing to take. It's the Lions. They suck. The truth is going to come out. San Francisco, Pittsburgh. I'm reading from the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You got Washington, they're coming around. And then you got Kansas City on the road and Seattle. Then let's talk about a Super Bowl.
Well, we're not even talking Super Bowl, Mike.
Right.
We're just talking about the win tonight.
The season before Rodgers did all his drama.
Well, yeah, but now we're into the season. Now we're just talking about each game.
Oh, it's going to get harder.
No doubt. It's a tough schedule for the Packers this year. You're right, Mike. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
And he's right. I mean, comparatively to the rest of the names on this schedule for Green Bay, the Lions are essentially nothing. They are. But it's important that they won today. It is. Mm-hmm. All weekend we were hearing about how awful and how difficult it was if your team was down 0-2 to actually make it into the playoffs. And the Packers avoided that today. And how many people were coming on here saying that, and Ryan Wood, our Green Gold insider, came on the Big Show last week on Thursday and said this was pretty much a must win, as close as it comes to a must win in week two of an NFL schedule for the Packers, because being embarrassed at home against the Detroit Lions, which it would have been if they would have lost this game, flips this season on its head. It truly does. And because the Packers won this game, it's a step in the right direction. And I think that's kind of where we're going here. It's a step in the right direction to get back to that Super Bowl expectation that so many people have for them this year, Gary.
No, it really is. And that's really all you're looking for, right? I mean, you're just trying to right the ship. There was so much that went wrong in the offseason. And now you're just trying. You got off to a bad start against the Saints. You're just trying to right the ship right now.
Mm-hmm. And they'll continue to do that going forward with San Francisco next week. But today, a big game for Aaron Jones. And we heard from him after the game talk about his 4-touchdown performance and what it means to this team that they did get a win and are back on track. Now, here is Aaron Jones after the game. There was Aaron Jones after the game, breaking it all down in this 35-17 win, where he truly starred. He was the best player on the field today for the Green Bay Packers, by my accounts, at the very least. He had 17 carries, 67 yards, and a rushing touchdown, and then tag along another 6 receptions, 48 yards, and 3 touchdowns. If you're a Packer fan or an Aaron Jones holder on your fantasy team, you're very excited about the performance that he put on today and hopeful that he can put on more performances like that going forward, as this team will need him and will need Davante Adams and will need Aaron Rodgers to have big games throughout the course of the season if they're going to get back on that Super Bowl trajectory that we have put them on before the season, maybe lost in week one and maybe gained a little bit back in week two. Thank goodness the Packers won this game 35-17. We'll hit a quick break here. When we come back, we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, the guy who did cause all that drama in the offseason and who had a great performance today. Four touchdowns himself with over 200 yards passing, 250 yards passing. To go along with it is the Green and Gold Postgame Show with Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson. More coming up next.
The Green Bay game is over. What player stood out from today's game? Who made the biggest impact? It's time to name the Van Horn Automotive MVP of the game. Van Horn Automotive Group, with locations throughout Wisconsin and in Iowa, family born and employee owned. On the web at vanhornauto.com. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Yes, it is, and it's Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson hanging out with you after a 35-17 win from your Green Bay Packers over the Detroit Lions. And let's be honest, the MVP of this game was the guy that punched it into the end zone four times, and that is Aaron Jones. A huge day, 17 carries, 67 yards, and a touchdown on the ground, three touchdowns through the air on six receptions for 48 yards. So just over 100 yards total on the day and four touchdowns, something that has only been done a handful of times in the last 50 years, I would say, of football, and has happened just twice for running backs since 2010, and both of them were done by Aaron Jones. So he was having a big game today, another historic day for Aaron Jones in his career as a Green Bay Packer, proving he is worth every single dollar that they spent on him in week two, at least, and hopes that he will continue that success moving forward. Now let's hear to another guy who had a big game and the reigning NFL MVP, Aaron Rodgers, after the game, talking about this win and getting things back on track, because he feels like the team played with a little bit more emotion today, and I think all of the fans could see the same thing. There was Aaron Rodgers after the game, and an Aaron Rodgers that seems pretty happy about his team's performance today, so much so that he was exuberant and used language that we could not play on the air. Thankfully, it was bleeped out, but he's excited about this team and what they did today. And I think a lot of Packer fans should be, because they came in and they took care of business against a bad Lions team. And while that may not be the sexiest thing in the world, they're in the win column, Gary, and we're starting to see positive momentum for this team compared to what we've seen in what we saw in week one, which was the opposite, what looked like what could be a huge step back.
Well, I mean, it was a testy Aaron Rodgers for me.
Yeah.
In that presser. It was very testy.
Yeah, he was kind of, he had a little bit of an attitude, a little bit of an edge to him.
Yeah, trying to clap back a little bit, feels like, against the media. A little snarky in that.
And when Aaron Rodgers is good, I think a lot of people will take that from him. If he puts on performances like he did today, where he throws up 250 yards, almost perfect in his completions and four touchdowns, I think most people are going to be okay if he's a little bit snarky back at the media after what they've been saying about him all offseason long. And maybe not everybody agrees with that, but at least they got a win today, and Packer fans have to be excited about that. We got to hit a quick break. When we get back here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show, Dan Plucker and Gary Ellerson hanging out with you. We'll hear from the head coach, Matt LaFleur, and get all of his thoughts as this team gets in the win column for the first time this year and are tied for first place through 2 weeks in the NFC North. And after that devastating loss to the Saints, that means something. We'll hear from LaFleur next here on the Green and Gold Postgame Show.
The Green Bay game is over. What went right? What went wrong? What's the latest on the injuries? It's time to hear what the head coach thinks of today's game. You're listening to the Green and Gold Postgame Show, presented by Lakeland University on the Big Show Radio Network.
Packers win 35-17, the first win of the season, and last week we heard a Matt LaFleur who was not very happy with his team, not really happy with their performance. This week, I think we can expect something a little bit different, Gary, after this win.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, the guy up in Green Bay, head coach of your Green Bay Packers now here on the Green Gold Postgame Show. It certainly does. And Aaron Jones was highly involved today, Gary Ellerson. He was the Van Horn MVP of the game. And One thing we didn't mention that I want to get to here quick before we get out, Aaron Rodgers gets to 10th all-time in passing yards in the game today with that 50-yard bomb to Davante Adams. So credit to where credit is due. He's had a great career, and those numbers are only going to continue to get better as we head down the stretch here in what could be his last year in Green Bay. Still lots to talk about this game, Gary. Still lots to talk about the future for the Packers, if they're back on track, if you have more confidence now that we're in the win column, the Packers 1-1 on the season, all of that will be continued to be broken down by you, Sparky, and Leroy on the big show tomorrow. I'll be on the other side of the glass for that. But for you, Gary Ellerson, thanks. This was a lot of fun. Our first show together, man.
Yeah, well, many more to come.
Many more to come. Gary, really appreciate your work today. Safe travels back home. I know you got to get up early, so safe travels back home from Green Bay tonight.
Are we going to go sleep fast?
Go sleep fast. There he is, Gary Ellerson. Great show from him today. And for Gary, for Sam Schmitz on the other side of the glass, I am Dan Plucker. If you want any more information about me, follow me on Twitter at Dan Plucker, PLOCHER. You can also follow us on Twitter at Big Show Network, BigShowNetwork.com. If you missed any of the content today, more coming tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show. Thanks for tuning in. Packers win 35-17.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. audacy. Download it today.